praise in the house today. Hallelujah. What a wonderful name it is. Anybody grateful for that name? I like your name. You got a cool name. Your mama named you a cool name. But there's something about that name. The Bible says that at that name, every knee shall bow. And at that name, every tongue will confess. Anybody know there's power in that name? And in the name of Jesus, that demons flee. In the name of Jesus, the sick get healed. In the name of Jesus, the bound get delivered. In the name of Jesus. I may say your name if I need a hookup on cable, but I'm saying his name when I need a hookup in my health. Have I got somebody in the house today? It says, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. Sounds like music to my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Here goes the part I like. The sweetest. I remixed it. The sweetest name I know. Amen, somebody. I had it different in my head. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I had the song my own way. Amen. 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 Turn to your neighbor and say, Pastor had his remix in the head. Amen. I was going to make it your song. Amen, somebody. Turn to somebody and say, it's the sweetest name I know. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise in the house today. Reverend Bill, pray for me. Amen. Amen. I done remixed old-time gospels. Amen. And knew it was the song. Amen. Turn with me, Mark the 9th chapter. I'm just going to read the scripture. Amen. I'm going to read it. I'm not going to remix it. I promise you. Mark the 9th chapter, the 17th verse. Mark the 9th chapter, the 17th verse. Thank you, Minister Aaron. Minister Aaron said it still worked. Amen. Amen. Mark the 9th chapter, the 17th verse. It reads as this. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and he comes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You unbelieving generation, Jesus replied. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion, fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered, it has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus. Everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. My brothers and my sisters, I ask you to join me in the word of prayer on this Sunday in September as I share on the sermon subject, I already have enough. I already have enough. Turn to your neighbor and say, I already have enough. I already have enough. Let us look to the Lord. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your son. We thank you, God, for your power. We thank you, God, for your grace. We thank you, God, for your love. Now, God, grab a hold of me. This is your humble servant. God, in Jesus' name, speak a word through me, but also speak a word to me. And we believe in God that we all shall leave here better, save, heal, deliver, set the captive free, send the preacher, send the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. My brothers and my sisters, one of my first early jobs, in youth work, as I started to work with young people, was at an organization in Washington, D.C. called Sasha Bruce Youth Work. At Sasha Bruce Youth Work, I was a substance abuse prevention counselor, and it was my job to go all over the D.C. area talking to young people about drugs. But not just that, but I also had to do what were called family counseling and deal with families and do family visits and home visits and deal with young people throughout this region who were in some of the worst situations, worst circumstances, and sit and work with their families to try to help their families to become the healthy, whole places they needed to become. At Sasha Bruce, I'm glad that they did not just leave me to my own devices, but they started to train me in a counseling method that is called competency-based counseling. Said competency-based counseling. And the theory behind competency-based counseling is that when you are dealing with a family that's going through issues, going through situations, going through challenges, it is not just enough to tell them what's going wrong, but it's helpful to talk to them about what's going right. That it's helpful to be able to point out not just the deficiencies in their situation, but the competencies in their situation. That even though they may be going through a rough situation, may be going through hard times, may be going through challenging times, to be able to look in their family dynamics and point out some of the positives that are happening and reinforce the strengths that are already there. I've come by, my brothers and my sisters, because one of the challenges I find in the church is that we often need to have a competency-based model in faith. Because oftentimes we talk to you so much about what you don't have and what you're doing wrong and what you're not supposed to do that we don't often focus on the positive things that you already have going on. And so therefore you end up coming in church and you end up having an inferiority complex in the church. That you end up coming to church and you end up feeling like you're just not enough to handle the situations that you're in when the truth be told, you already have enough. That you already, right where you are, have enough to fight the battle you're going through. You already right now have enough to get the deliverance you're seeking. You already right now have enough to get the breakthrough that you're seeking. You already right now have enough to go to the next level that God has for you. You just got to understand for yourself that you already have enough. My brothers and my sisters, one of the challenges in this world is even economically we deal from a place of scarcity, we deal from a place of lack, we deal from a place of deficit, and so we're so used to talking about what we don't have that when God then blesses us, we look at it from a place of scarcity like we're never going to get it again, and so we hoard things and we treat things in certain ways because we've always been up, brought up with a place of scarcity. It's almost like looking at a young person who has not been able to eat and has come from a family that deals with hunger, and they finally get to a place in which they get to a table in which they're going to be provided for all the time, but you'll often find that young person will start to grab and eat as much as they can, as fast as they can, and stick stuff in their pockets because they don't believe they're ever going to get anything else again because they've always not had, but now that they're at a place of being able to have, they're still dealing with the world from a place of scarcity. Somebody in here today, I've come by to let you know that the table is set before you and that God has shifted the dynamics of your life. And now you don't have to keep hoarding and keep sticking in your pockets, but God is saying that you already have enough for this new season I'm about to take you to, and I'm going to do something in your life in such dramatic fashion, and you already have enough. It's a very interesting thing, Reverend Bill. When I look at this, I look at this scripture, and the scripture jumped out at me in a different way than it used to jump out to me. Because when I look at this scripture, it's a scripture about a gentleman who took his son who used to have fits. It took his son who had been bound by a spirit, took his son who used to often get tossed into the fire, into the water, and to kill himself, and took his son who was living in a dysfunctional kind of a fashion when the spirit would come up on him, took his son to the disciples and asked them to heal him, asked them to deliver him. him. And the disciples couldn't do it. The disciples had been casting out demons. The disciples had been healing the sick, but the disciples couldn't do it. And he went to Jesus and said, Jesus, I took my son to your disciples and tried to get your disciples to handle it, and they couldn't handle it. Why couldn't they handle it? And Jesus said, bring the boy to me. And one of the first things I believe that we can understand when we look at you already having enough is that how long is not long. Turn to your neighbor and say, how long, not long. One of the things, Reverend Bill, when I look at this scripture, is that Jesus turned to the man and he said, how long has he been like this? It was an interesting question for Jesus to ask, because as Jesus asked it, the father said, he's been this way all of his life, that ever since he was a baby, he acted like this. Ever since he was a baby, he would go into these fits. He's been this way all of his life. Is there anybody here that when you look back over that issue in your life, it seems like you've been going through it a long time? Is there anybody here that when you look back over that circumstance you're grappling with, it seems like you've been grappling with it a long time? That when you look at it, that as long as you can remember, you've always had this issue. As long as you can remember, you've always been going through this. Or even if it hasn't been always, does it just feel like it's been a long time? But I've come by today because what I realize about this scripture is that many times folks would say how long, and then that would be a measurement on about how hard it would be to get him delivered. But for Jesus, the how long wasn't a measurement of how long it would be to get him delivered. It would be how great the testimony was about to be. You see, you've got to understand that when I looked at the scripture, I realized that when Jesus was dealing with the boy, Jesus said, how long has he been like this? Because Jesus wanted to understand, one, what he was dealing with, but two, what the shout that was going to come. And somebody here, you've got to understand that I don't care how long you've been going through what you're going through, that time is not long to Jesus. Because the scriptures talk about that for God, 1,000 years is like one of, 1,000 of our years is like his day. And in other words, that God does not see time the way we see time. And so you've been going through it for a long time, but it's not a long situation to the Lord. In other words, it seems like a big deal to you, but I've come by to let you know, I don't care how big the deal is to you. I don't care if you went through it, your mama went through it, your grandmama went through it, your great-grandmama went through it, that God's got everything you need to get you to the other side. It may be the biggest thing you've ever dealt with, but it's not the biggest thing God's ever dealt with. And a God will say, bring him to me. Bring him to me. God, Jesus heard how long it had been said, bring the boy to me. But the second thing I want to let you know is you've already got enough. Turn to somebody and say, already enough. Already enough. When you look at the scripture that Jesus has them bring the boy to him, he says, and the father says, look, it's often done this to him, and it's often done that to him. And the father says, but if you can do anything, Lord, have mercy. If you can do anybody, you ever been in such a place of desperation that you said, God, I don't even need you to give me the full deliverance. If you can just hook me up a little bit, I don't even need you to just do it all. I just need you to help me. If you can do anything to help me, if you can just give me any sense of compassion, if you can just help me in any kind of a way, you ain't got to make me prosperous, but if you can just help me not to get kicked out the house, if you can just do anything that you ain't even got to bring the love of my life, if you can just help folks to stop beating on me, if you can do anything, if you can do anything to help me along the journey, if you can do anything to help me along my journey. And Jesus looked at the man and Jesus told him, if you can, he said that everything is possible for one who believes. God, have mercy. Oh, I thought somebody would shout right there, because I've come by to tell you over the annals of time that Jesus said everything is possible. Jesus didn't say, if I can do anything, if I can just give you a hookup, if I can just help you out a little bit, but Jesus said, I can do everything, Lord, have mercy, that you need, because everything is possible for him who believes. But what got me, Reverend Bill, was not that Jesus said everything, but what got me was in the brother said, well, Jesus, I do believe, but help thou my unbelief. And Jesus, I believe that you can do it, but there are some places on the inside of me that still have some tension and some doubts. And if you can just help me to believe a little bit better, is there anybody in the house today that's sometimes how you are, that for all the hell you've been through, you come to the house of the Lord believing that Jesus can work it out, but if you're honest with yourself, there's still a little place in you that's not sure that Jesus will actually do it? But I've come by to let you know, like this young
brother. His brother said, Jesus, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. But I'm so glad, Reverend Bill, that this is the same scripture that there was a situation that Jesus talked about in Matthew that caused him to say, if you've got the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell a mountain to be moved and cast into the sea. In other words, you don't need a whole bunch. All you need is a little bit, and Jesus will work it out. How do I know all you need is a little bit? Because after the brother said, help my unbelief, Jesus didn't do no teaching on how to believe. Jesus didn't do no discipleship class. Jesus didn't do no faith workshop. But Jesus immediately went to heal his boy. That Jesus didn't have to work on his faith, because he already had enough right there. And I come by to let you know that I know you don't have everything you want. I know you got a little bit of doubt, but baby, the little bit of faith you got is already enough to work on your situation. It's already enough to fight your battle. It's already enough to get your healing. It's already enough to deliver your children. Have I got anybody in here that can say, thank you, Jesus, I'm already.
I've already got enough. That's it. I thought somebody would.
I already preached enough. I thought I was going to need 3 points. I only needed 2. You already.
You know what gets me about this scripture, Reverend Bill? Gets me about this scripture is that the brother said, I believe, help my unbelief. Jesus didn't work on him. Jesus immediately dealt with his son. But what gets me is what he said to the demon that was in his son. He said, leave him never to come back again. Somebody today, the word of the Lord for you, and I'm totally done, is this can be your never again moment. It's almost like when the children of Israel were at the Red Sea. They were blocked, but God had told them they were going to the promised land. Pharaoh's army was behind them. God told Moses to lift up the staff, walk through, God opened up the Red Sea, told him to walk through it, and told him the enemies you see today, you will never see again. You will never see it again. Somebody today, this is your day to have a never again moment. God wants to do such a work in your life, you never have to see a raggedy relationship again. God wants to do a work in your life that your family's family never has to see poverty again. God wants to do a work in your life that you never have to deal with anxiety again. God wants to do a work in your life that the enemy you see today will see no more. Won't you stand all over the church, all that are able? In other words, the sickness you're dealing with right now, God wants to heal you so you never